If there is one word that a woman in Israel doesn't want to hear, that's it. Barren. It wouldn't be so sad if you didn't share the belief that God's power and blessing were revealed through a couple's children and their children's children. It was especially hard for my husband, Zacharias. I knew that he longed to have a son to raise in the ways of God. What a sorrow it would be if God pruned our branch of his vine, Israel, and I couldn't give him a child. It wasn't so bad when we were young and first married. It was plenty of time to bear a child. Even in my middle years, I still held out hope. But then one day, I was an old woman. If children are God's blessing, then barrenness is his curse. I felt that curse in the way the community treated me. I saw pity in their eyes and I heard it between their words. I had many bitter days. I often thought of Hannah. She was barren and she was shamed by her rival, Peninnah. But God answered her prayers and gave her a child. Why didn't he answer mine? I began to think that he just didn't care.
Do I remember the voices of Christmas? Oh, yes. Mine was the voice of disbelief. My name is Zacharias, and you may recognize my name, but possibly you're confusing it with some other people in our people's history. There was Zacharias, who was the son of Jehoshaphat. He was killed by his brother Jehoram to stop him from ascending to the throne. And then there was the great prophet Zechariah. He spelled his name a little bit differently. Throughout the history of our people, there have probably been 30 called Zacharias. Don't you confuse me with Zacchaeus. He was short and he collected taxes. Zacharias, you know, it's a good name. It's a good name. Do you know what it means? The Lord remembers. And throughout the entire history of our people, God has always remembered his promises. I married to Elizabeth. She's a good wife. We shared a huge sadness, though. We had no children. When you have no children, how can you testify to the faithfulness of God through all the generations? What good would it be if God kept every one of his promises and no one from my family was able to see them come to pass? We had prayed so long and hard, and we had no children. Do you see how sad that was for us? I had begun to believe that it was impossible. I was an old man. She was an old woman. I just didn't think we would ever be able to have children. We were just too old.
My husband, Zacharias, is a good man. He's a priest descended from the line of Abijah. My family were priests too, from Aaron. The law doesn't require a priest to marry within the priestly line, but that's just how it turned out for us. He takes his duties very seriously. And we lived our lives in the ways that God commanded us to. We were very obedient to God. And yet, I was barren. At night, I'd lie awake and I would hear Rachel calling out to Jacob, "Give me children or I die." And wasn't fruitfulness the blessing of God's obedience to God? I just had so many questions. I was so obedient and yet I was barren. And the questions just kept coming. I imagine to hear me speak, you'd think I was the voice of complaint, but I'm not. I am the voice of blessing. Let me tell you why. One day when it was the turn of Zacharias' division to serve in the temple in Jerusalem, the lot fell to him to put incense on the holy altar. And there, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that my barrenness would soon end. He said we were going to have a son, and his name would be John. Our son would be blessed even from my womb. He would bring many people back to God. Now, I know that this was a wondrous promise.
Can I tell you a little bit about how we served in the temple? Can I do that?
Yeah.
Well, as priests, we formed shifts, and we would come from the villages around Jerusalem, and some of us from homes in Jerusalem, and we would perform the various duties of priests in the temple. And when our shift was done, 5, 6, 7 days, that shift would go home, and a new shift would come to the temple to serve and to perform all the duties. One of the duties at the temple was very highly revered. You may be asked through the drawing of lots to take incense and to put it on the coals on the high altar, right next to the Holy of Holies. There was only a veil separating that priest as he stood there at the altar from the Holy of Holies, the very mercy seat of God. You couldn't be closer to God than that on earth. No one got to go into the Holy of Holies. Well, no, that's not quite true. The high priest did get to go into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. Well, let me go on with my story. This is what happened. One day, my lot was chosen, and I was to put incense onto the holy, on the coals on the holy altar. What an honor that was for me. All the worshippers had gathered in the courtyards of the temple. They were preparing for worship. And I moved up to the sanctuary right there. And I stood in front of the altar, the veil right there beside me. And I took the incense and I spread it on the coals, and this most wondrous smoke arose, wafting, and it started to spread its way through the temple. I raised my hand to give the benediction of Aaron, when just there was someone standing. They were standing right there beside the altar. It was an angel. I can tell you, that terrified me. The first thing the angel did was to say, "Fear not." And then he proceeded to tell me that after our years and years and years of prayer, we were going to have a son. A son. And he told me that we would name the son John. He would be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, from my wife. He would preach in the power and spirit of the great prophet Elijah. He was going to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Messiah. Do you know what that means? Do you? That means the Messiah was coming soon. As I remember now, I was dizzy. I was confused. I was still quite afraid. And all of those things, it doesn't justify what I said next. I looked at the angel and I raised my voice in disbelief. I said to the angel, "How will we know all these things are going to come to pass? I'm an old man. She is an old woman, my wife. People our age don't have children. They have to be younger, like that person down there." Oh, let me give you a word of advice. Never talk back to an angel. The angel told me his name, Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel who stands right at the feet of God in the throne room of heaven. If I had something stupid to say, why not say it to a lesser angel? But Gabriel, oi! Gabriel said to me, because I had raised my voice in disbelief, Jehovah would take away my speech. I would be struck dumb until all the things he had told me had come to pass. And then he was gone. There I was in the sanctuary, still standing in front of the altar. And I couldn't form words. All the people were waiting for me to start their prayers. I came out of the sanctuary and I tried to explain to them that I couldn't talk. I gestured. I did all the things I could possibly do. And they couldn't understand. I had good news to tell. I'd been visited by an angel. I was going to have a son. The Messiah was coming. And I couldn't tell a soul. Do you know how frustrating that was? In a couple of days, our shift was over. And I returned to our village and to Elizabeth. She was always so pleased to see me. And she also always wanted to hear all the things that had happened in Jerusalem, all the news. What good is it when you have good news and you can't speak it? Poor Elizabeth, we were going to have a son, and I couldn't tell her. Over the next couple of days, I would say that our routine returned to normal. And then the miracle. Elizabeth conceived. my wife was pregnant.
When Zacharias came home after his duties at the temple, he couldn't say a word. He was so ashamed. He took a writing tablet and he made me understand that he had spoken out against the angel, the angel's disclosure, and he was struck speechless. Gradually, I came to understand that the wondrous promise that was beyond belief was going to come true. I conceived a child in my old age, with Zacharias. I understand now why Sarah of old called her baby Isaac, which means laughter. Sometimes in the evening after our meal, Zacharias and I would sit together and we would laugh and laugh. You have to admit there's something funny about a pregnant granny. I spent my days in seclusion because my baby was offered up to God even in my womb. And I often watched the busy wives were carrying their children running around, and I was grateful for the slow, thoughtful days of an old woman's life. In the sixth month of my pregnancy, my cousin Mary came to visit from Nazareth. I had a special feeling for Mary, and I was a little bit puzzled by her visit. We'd only had a few days' notice of her coming, and I wondered, why such a hurried visit? She was engaged to a nice young man from Nazareth, and the wedding wasn't that far off. You know how your imagination kind of runs away with you when your mind doesn't have all the facts? I wondered, what could possibly be wrong? Mary came to the door, and I braced myself. I know from the first look at her face. Elizabeth, she said. I could tell that she was looking for understanding and she wasn't sure how we were going to receive her. That hurt. She was like a grandchild to us. What news could she possibly have to make her feel that she couldn't trust us? Suddenly, I knew. She was pregnant. And for a moment, I thought the worst, and then my baby John gave me such a kick. It was as if he would say, Mother, what good is it for you to bear the forerunner unless someone else bears the Messiah? The realization broke on me in wave after wave of bright wonder. Mary's baby was the Messiah. Oh, Mary, I cried. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Then I proceeded to tell her everything about our baby, which she already knew. And she told us about her visit from Gabriel. I thought poor Zacharias would split. I'm sure he wanted to compare notes with her. So in order to divert some of the curiosity of our community away from Mary's unexpected visit, I started to go out in public again. What a curiosity I was. Our friends laughed and teased, and Zacharias, who has a reputation for a very witty tongue, he had to leave the last word to others.
Well, I have to say that the neighbors were really curious about why I couldn't speak. I was a priest, and I never uttered a word. They were also curious about Elizabeth because no one had seen her for 6 months. One day, we had a visit from Elizabeth's beautiful cousin, Mary. Mary had news for us. She was pregnant. This is a thing of shame and scandal. Make no doubt about it. She was a virgin, engaged to a good man, Joseph, and they were not married. Then she told us that she too had been visited by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, oy. Gabriel had told her about the miracle that was going to take place within her. It was a wondrous time. How we enjoyed our visit with Mary. Do you know, she stayed all the way through until it was Elizabeth's time. And then Elizabeth had a baby, a boy. I held that baby for the first time. I'll never forget that feeling. My son, after all those years of prayer, we had a son. When the news got out, and it always gets out that there's a baby, the neighbors came over, and friends, and our relatives came from distant places. There was singing and dancing and drinking and eating. And singing and dancing and drinking and eating. You know what people are like at a party. Relatives, I said. Relatives. During that entire time, I couldn't say a word. I just sat there in the corner with this big grin on my face. I couldn't say a thing. It was wondrous. On the eighth day, as was our custom, we took our baby to be circumcised. I carried him. The day of circumcision is a very, very important day in our tradition. It is the day your son becomes a son of the covenant, an heir to the promises of God. It's also the day that you name your son. I couldn't speak, so it fell to Elizabeth to tell them what we were naming our son. And she said, "His name shall be John." Oh, you should have heard the ruckus then. What are you talking about? John, there's no John in your family. And then they looked at me. Zacharias, they said, tell us it's not true. You're going to name him Zacharias after you. It's our tradition. I knew what I had to do. I reached and I took a tablet and I wrote in it, "His name shall be John." And I turned it around and I showed it to everybody and I started to gesture. And you know what happened? Suddenly, I could speak. I had words. I began to shout and praise and prophesy. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David.
Yes, I am one of the voices of Christmas. I am the voice of blessing. Blessing that I was no longer barren. Blessing that in the midst of my joy, Mary came and added to it. Blessing that her baby would bring God's greatest blessing to the world. I was carrying the forerunner, and she was carrying the Savior. That is cause for blessing indeed.
God was so good to me. God, I was one of the voices, the only voice of Christmas, who raised his voice in disbelief. And God, in his great mercy and love, took that disbelief and turned it into praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and accomplished redemption for his people.